Well, we're almost there. It's only 2 days away. You know, I mean, it's the long-awaited time. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in your experience, anybody in your realm, anybody in your family who you say to yourself, well, I'm not going to have the discussion like that with them? You know, I'm just not going there. Is there anybody that tries to have a discussion with you that you say, that's not going to be good? Why is that? I mean, why is it that we have that kind of setting? You know, I wonder sometimes how many of us have more emotional energy going into our politics than in our faith? How many of us spend more time in reviewing what's going on in the midterms, what's going on here, what's going on there, watching more news than sort of talking about what the Lord's doing in our life? If you are like that, know this good news. It's been like that for a long, long time. I mean, in time of Jesus, you know, most people think that in time of Jesus that it was just this one little thing. Let me tell you something. They didn't have a two-party system in the time of Jesus in Israel. They had at least a six-party system. They had a group that were called the Herodians. They were really far to the left. Then you had a group called Zealots. They were real far to the right. Then you had Sadducees, who were pretty liberal. And then you had Pharisees, who were pretty conservative. And then you had Essenes. They were the Dead Sea Scroll people. They kind of just said, I don't want to touch any of this. I'm just out of here. You know, this is not of my time. And then they had the rest of the people. There were all these groups. There were all these sects. There were all these factions. There was all these perspectives. There were all these people. And they were all Israel. All of them. You know, in the gospel that we have today, it's an interesting gospel here on All Saints Day, because it's the gospel is a story of Jesus coming in. At this point, the setting goes like this. He's come into Jerusalem. It's his final trip to Jerusalem. It's not far before he gets arrested. And he's in Jerusalem, and he immediately goes to the temple. Now, when he gets to the temple, there are many people who actually are coming up to him. Two of the groups that come to him right away, that's recorded right before this scripture, are the Herodians, which, if you remember, they're far to the left, and the Pharisees, who are conservative. They've band together, and they want to sort of entrap Jesus. And what do? You know, strange bedfellows create strange things. The two of them gather together, and they come and they say, is it lawful to pay tax to Caesar? And we get what out of that? We get, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, render unto God what is God. There's another group that comes to Jesus right after that. It's the Sadducees. Remember, they're pretty liberal. And they didn't believe in the resurrection. And so they trump up a story of there's a man who is married to this woman. The man dies, and because of Jewish custom, the brother is supposed to marry the wife to provide a family for the brother who's dead. Well, then that brother, the second brother, marries the woman and he dies. And then a third brother come up and he dies and so on and so forth. And then they present to Jesus, well, whose wife is she going to be in heaven? You know, and Jesus has to say, listen, it doesn't work that way, guy. It doesn't work that way. In the midst of all that controversy of the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and probably other people, in discussing with Jesus, all of a sudden a scribe comes up. And the scribe, as we have in our gospel today, is interesting. The scribe usually means he's a Pharisee. And this scribe comes up, and he hears them disputing, and the way Jesus answered, and he says, Jesus, tell me, what is the greatest commandment of them all? Jesus quotes back, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You got to love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, and with all your strength, and with all your soul. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The scribe looks at him and goes, you are right, teacher. You are right. We are to love the Lord. The Lord is one. So we have to love him with all our strength and with all our understanding. And you know what? And to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's exactly right. God wants that more than he cares about burnt offerings or sacrifice. And Jesus looks at him and says to him, brother, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And at that point, nobody else asks him a question. You're not far from the kingdom of God. You know, I started to think about it. To love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That is the priority of what we are as a body of Christ. Why is it that sometimes we have factions and disputes, though, so much in the midst of us? When are we going to return to that place where we sort of center it and say, okay, look, we might disagree with that guy over there because I know I'm right and he's wrong. But nonetheless, we have something in common, that we are all created in God's image, that we have one God, that we do come together, that God loves us, that he's going to be there for. Why is it that so often we have such a difficult time of coming together and having a conversation? Not an argument, but a conversation with each other. Why is it that? When are we going to return to that place where we can come together and agree to disagree? When are we going to come forward to where we don't have to avoid conversation? When are we going to come forward where we love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, when we really understand how to love? You see, you love your neighbor as yourself because that's the way you love God. You love your neighbor, and you experience caring for that person that is your neighbor. That's the way you love God. So who's our neighbor? You know that question? Trust me, it wouldn't be the first time somebody asked it. If you look in Luke chapter 10, you know, you find out that an attorney, a lawyer, comes to Jesus and says to Jesus, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And he's, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then what does the attorney say? The attorney says, who's my neighbor? Define it for me. And what do we get out of that scripture? We get a definition of who our neighbor is in the story of the Good Samaritan, because that's how Jesus answers him. And a neighbor is anybody that crosses your path. Doesn't matter where they come from, what their ethnicity, doesn't matter anything. It's anybody who crosses your path. And so what we are called to do is to love our neighbor, anybody who crosses our path, as ourselves. Because that's the way we love God. But how do you love somebody? You know, I mean, how do you love somebody? I don't know about you. Sometimes I think, well, I'm really loving them. You know, this past week was an interesting week. I took Monday through Friday off, and Sally and I went to the Florida Keys. We went down to Key Colony Beach, which is in Marathon. And I've been going there for nearly 30 years. I have friends down there. And I have to, anybody wants fish, don't ask me, because I didn't go fishing. I didn't go diving because the waves were about 3 to 5. A Sombrero Reef was going off. I mean, I could have gone surfing easier and I could have gone diving. And no snorkeling. We just caught sun, red, rode my bike. It was very relaxing. But every night we went, because we're in the Keys. You go watch the sunset. You know how it works. And right where we stayed at a place called the Continental Inn, which is in Key Colony Beach, which it's a wonderful place. You basically can go in there. It's not expensive. It's got a beautiful sand beach and a swimming pool, and you know, and it's really wonderful. Just don't go over the speed limit of 25 miles an hour, because they got their own cop and he will get you. and every night we wandered down to a place called Sunset Park. Now, we've been there 1,000 times, but I hadn't been there in the winter in a long time. And we got down to Sunset Park. We got a place on a bench to watch the sunset go down perfectly, if you really want to. I have no pictures of grandchildren, but I have the sunset quite a few times. And as we sat there, all of a sudden, this woman comes over, and she walks over, and she says, would you like to sing along with us today? Now, I'll be real up with front with you. I'm not exactly what you call one of those kumbaya people. I don't do that, you know, and, you know, so she tried to hand, I said, no, thank you very much, you know, thank you for inviting me, but no, you don't. Sally just kind of smiled. She's much nicer than I am. I said, no, I don't need that, and then all of a sudden, as the sun went down, all of a sudden, this guy, not with a little jam box that's, you know, made in, you know, even in the 2000s, but back in the 80s, one of those big boom boxes, he starts playing the end of, I think it was 2001, A Space Odyssey. You know that song? Bum, 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 dun-dun. You know, and I mean, and the sun goes down perfectly. When that's done, you know what they do? They all of a sudden start playing the song that sounds like Jimmy Buffett, but it's not. Okay, singing something about marathon, in marathon. They're waving their hands back and forth like palm trees, and I'm like, oh, I mean, I'm going crazy. I mean, this is not for me. And so the sun's down, I look at Sally, and she goes, oh, this is so nice. And I say, I'm like, I gotta go. I turned around and walked away. Now, I'll be up front with you. Those people were really nice. They were really inclusive. But that wasn't love. You know, I think a lot of times when we hear the word love, we think about being nice. Love is much beyond being nice. Love isn't just inviting somebody over. Love is going beyond that. I think where we've seen love really illustrated probably the most clearly is in this last week. Now, all of you remember the Tree of Life, you know, incredible massacre, you know, last week. And what happened there? 11 Jewish people were killed. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but in Jewish custom, you know, when a Jew is killed, they see him, especially in an act like this, they're seen as a martyr. And they're seen as a martyr, and when a Jewish person dies, people have to keep watch on the body. And so in the pouring rain last weekend, you had Jewish people standing outside the synagogue in the pouring rain, keeping watch over those bodies that were inside, even though they couldn't go in because it was a crime scene. The moment they were allowed to go in, they went in and they had to clean up the blood and any flesh, anything that was there, anything that was organic, they had to clean it up because that's what they did. When the bodies were shipped to the morgue, they kept watch at the morgue because they believed that the soul does not leave the body until it is laid to rest. And so they keep watch. You do not grieve alone in a Jewish community. You have to be together in a Jewish community. And they clean up all that organic material, blood that's been splattered. They clean up everything with baby wipes and they bury it all. Because that's God's gift of giving us life. A gift that has been given to us. And that no matter what anybody has ever done in their life, no matter how horrendous they are given dignity. The group that does this is, and I probably won't pronounce this, is they're called Chevra Kadisha. And it's a group of people that come together that are actually trained because as they're cleaning the bodies, which they do when they finally can receive the body, they clean the body, every ounce of it, and they pray prayers and do ritual as they clean the bodies to prepare for putting them to rest. And in a Jewish custom, you're supposed to do as close as to the death, get it done as fast as possible. You don't wait. They were asked, what is this like? What do you do? And one of the spokespeople for Chevra Kadisha said, this is when you give to another human being who can't give back to you. They cannot say thank you. This is when you serve in a way just for the sake of serving. When Jesus said to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, I think it was much more like that kind of thing of serving than it was, let me sing along. It wasn't just being nice. If we're going to change this world, we got to go beyond just being nice and saying hello and then moving on with our own opinions in our head. We got to come to a place where we communicate with each other. We have to come back to the main emphasis, the main thing that God gave us, to love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then show that and loving our neighbor as ourselves as we serve each other. That's what I hope I do. That's what I hope that you do. To serve the world. But no, we're really serving God. That's how we change things. I hope that the emotion that I have for the living God is far greater than any emotion I have for a political position. I hope the emotion that I have of trying to live out my life is much more than just trying to get people elected. We are called to serve. I pray that we do serve in that way that really does love. That's not just being nice, but where we give of ourselves where we can't be thanked. Because it's in giving that way that we really receive. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.